Please turn to the book of Ruth. Let me turn this out a little bit. Turn to the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. We gave you the background and kind of introductory material last week. We're going to get into the book this week. Let me pause by saying this. This book teaches us about the sadness and difficulty of disobeying God. When Elimelech decided to leave Bethlehem because of a famine, rather than trust God, he chose to take his whole family, his two boys and his wife, to Moab. Moab was a country God had already judged. They were a pagan country. They worshipped a terrible god and other gods. Chemosh, the main deity to the Moabite people, required physical sacrifices, often the first born in the family. So he took his wife and children to this terrible country, forbidden by God. And once they arrived, Elimelech died. There's nothing in this passage that says he lived very long. It's probable that he died right away. Now the breadwinner is gone. They own no property in that land. They are going to have to find a way. The two sons decide that they're going to date two Moabite women, pagans. They were going to bring these two women into the with their worship, with their false gods, with their pagan traditions. And they lived that way for about 10 years, and they died disobedience. Only draws you away from God. Let me say that again. Disobedience only draws you away from God. Now, when we come to our passage this morning, we're going to look at verses 6 and following the end of the chapter. Naomi has a decision to make. In verses 6 and 7, then she, Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return unto her country. So Naomi's decision is to return. 10 years late, would it not have been better to stay in Bethlehem, even with the famine, with God on your side? Absolutely. They chose to go away from God, run from God, and it brought them to this terrible difficulty.
I just highlighted the
husband's dead, son's dead. And Naomi says, I'm going to go. She had heard, however, there was a restoration of the crops in Bethlehem, that God had brought bread to the land, it says. And so she goes, or she decides to return to Bethlehem for several reasons. Number one, breadwinner's dead. Her sons are dead. There was no provision for her in Moab, none. We don't find anywhere in this scripture that anyone took care of them in Moab. They were freelance. They were true soldiers. They had nothing. God had blessed the former land with bread, so they were going back. just three thoughts that I have about the disobedience, the deciding to go back. Let me give them to you.
Number one,
Naomi's return shows a willingness to go back to God. Naomi's choice to go back shows a willingness to go back to God. Secondly, Naomi's response shows a desire to be with God's people. Let me pause and say this. When you are away from God, you usually leave fellowship with God's people. Almost always. You stop going to church, stop calling them, stop going out with them. When you get right with God, you not only decide to go back to God, but you go back to God's people. And that's a big, beautiful picture here. She wanted to go back to Bethlehem. And that should be to the desire of every believer to be here. You know what? The best place to be on Sunday morning is here. There's no better place to be. The third thing that this response shows, it shows that she finally became open to God's direction. When you're in Moab, you're in some sin and some problem. You cannot get anything from God because you're away from God. And so he's silent to you. He wants you back. He wants you to come back. But when you're so far away from God, you do not hear God. And that's exactly where Naomi was. She did not hear God until she finally decided all was lost in Moab. Moab did her no good. And so she decided that she would commit, forsake Moab, go back home. Now the second thing I want you to notice, look at verses 7, 8, and 9. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was. Her two daughters-in-law went with her. They went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-laws, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with me. Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, the house of her husband. And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Does anybody here have a problem with that? A Jewish woman, living 10 years in Moab, two daughter-in-laws move in with her, pagans, godless 10 years they're with Naomi. And what does she want to do? Send them home. There was evidently very little, if any, witness by Naomi for 10 years to these two daughter-in-laws. I'm not saying she didn't care about them. I'm not saying she didn't love them. But there was no endeavor on her part to bring them over to following the God of Israel. And so here she is, they're on their way, they make some miles. She pauses and says, why don't you just go back? Someone wrote that she may have saw them as problematic. I don't think so. I think she saw them as where they really were religiously. And she said, don't bring that. I'm not going to allow you to bring that into my country. And so she wants him to go back to Moab. Go back to your old gods. Go back to your mother's house. Stay there. Find a husband. Pack up. Go home. Why would two pagan women follow her mother, their mother? I think Naomi was asking the same question. Why are they coming with me? They could go home to their mother's house. They could go home and find a husband. So she does the Asian European thing and kisses them. That, when you kiss someone in that condition, you're saying to them, goodbye. It's like saying, we're done now. I'm going to leave, and it's goodbye. I think she had some impact in their lives, but I don't think she had any real religious impact. My daughter and son-in-law had a foreign exchange student stay with them 2 years ago, 3 years ago. He was from Germany, lost, didn't know Christ. But in the year he was there, he began to see some things. He watched them. And eventually he gave his life to Christ. 1 year. This was 10 years. Where was her testimony? Where was her commitment to God? Where was that witness that was needed? Don't you see, you can't live in sin, live in disobedience, and witness at the same time. It'd be like you going to the bar and try to win people to Christ. You can't live in sin and drink with them and win them to Christ. It can't be done. And so we find her in this condition. Now Naomi explains to them why she thinks they should go back. It's in verses 10 through 13. Let me just give it to you quickly. First thing she tells them is, I don't have any more sons. The second thing she tells them is, God has dealt harshly with me. That word harshly means it brought hopelessness. To bring hopelessness. Basically, you can write there, Naomi was returning a broken woman. The third thing she did, the third thing that happened in this discussion is Orpha and Ruth wept. These are tears of sorrow due to leaving their mother. It's not any kind of decision here or that, no, we want to stay. They were just sorry that she wanted to leave. And just a thought. Naomi was broken. And I want to tell you, God uses broken vessels. All God's people say. Yeah. Have you ever been broken? You may have been away from God. God works on your life. God tries to make you move. And some tragedy comes in your life and it breaks you. And when you're broken, God will raise you up and use broken vessels. It's a great thing. You're going to see in just a few chapters that God used Naomi. So Naomi is at the point of entering her land. She's forsaken Moab. Orpah in verse 16 kisses her. What did kiss mean? Goodbye. Orpah kissed her. Ruth claved her. That word clave means to embrace in a kind of attitude of deep love. It's like holding on to someone, not letting them go. There's two choices that are made here. I want you to see this because it affects us as believers. Number one, the first choice by Orpah, she said, in essence, I see the value of staying, but I want Moab. I see the value of going with you, but I want Moab. She returned. In fact, the next verse, she says, Ruth, why aren't you going? Your sister went back. And listen to what it says. She said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back. What did that mean? She went back into her people. She went back into her gods. Return thou after thy sister. There was no change in Orpah's spiritual life. She had not seen enough in Naomi's life to make a decision to follow. So when it came down to choosing Moab or Bethlehem, she chose Moab. She went back into her sin. She went back into that lifestyle. She went back into that godless worship. That's where she went. Naomi had a different response. Her response was, I see the value of going with you, and I want it. I want to have it. Something in this short time with Naomi caused Ruth to literally change, to convert place, to decide that she wanted to follow Naomi, Naomi's people, Naomi's God. In fact, I personally believe that in 10 years, she didn't see enough in Naomi's life to want to make the change. But listen to me. When she saw Naomi's willingness to leave everything they had, if they had anything, to forsake Moab and go back to Bethlehem, to return to her God, I think that was the thing that finally caught Ruth's attention and caused Ruth to decide to obey her God, that is Naomi's God, follow Naomi's choice, and go back to Naomi's land. Ruth's response in verses 16 is an incredible response. It's a statement of love and commitment, and I think of a choice to change her life. Let me read it to you, verses 16 and 17. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after you. For whether you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. What an incredible thing. She finally saw enough in Naomi's life. This willingness to go back, face what happened, not knowing if there was going to be anything for her there, yet she went. This is a step of faith. And I think that Ruth acknowledged that, made that same decision to stay with her mother-in-law. Verse 18. Verse 17. Where thou dwellest, will I, where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me. That means the Lord kill me. And more also, if aught but death part thee and me. That's a commitment. When you decide to forsake that life, Moab, follow God, when you commit to that, your commitment will change the value of others' commitments. Your choice to obey God will cause others to obey God. Your choice to return to God will cause others to forsake their former life and take the new life in Christ. And folks, there's none in more impressive picture about that than in this response Ruth has with Naomi. 10 years with Naomi did not change Ruth's religion. But when Naomi took the step to go back to God's country, Ruth decided, I want to be like her. Your commitment to God changes the commitment of others. Then in verses 19 through 22, Naomi and Ruth return to Bethlehem. When they arrive, Naomi sets the record straight. People say, there's Naomi. And she said, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. That is bitterness. Naomi knew that when she returned, she had to be honest. She couldn't say, oh, well, we just got stuck there and we finally were able to get away. No, she said, God dealt with me bitterly. That word bitterly is a judicial term. It's basically saying that she understands that disobedience is judged. Verses 21, she said, I came, I left full, I returned empty. I left with a husband and two boys, I no husband, no boys. Only this daughter-in-law, this Moabite, Ruth. Remember Saul? God told him to utterly destroy the Amalekites. The city kept sheep and gold and all kinds of things. God came to him and said, Saul, I've got these sheep to sacrifice. He said, Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. And to hearken to the fat of rams. Limelech, obedience is better than Moab. Ruth, obedience is better than the loss of your husband and your children. Obedience. Three deaths. God dealt bitterly with me. I'm a broken woman. She even says two things. God testified against me. And God afflicted me. That word afflicted has the picture of a broken. It's interesting to me in the last part of these last verses. The people that finally decided to receive Naomi back, even her condition, brokenness, did not say it's good to have your daughter-in-laws with us. In fact, they called Ruth a Moabitess. That was like cursing somebody. That was like the most indiscreet, sorry statement you could make to someone. Ruth the Moabites. And she had to carry that heavy load, knowing that she was now going to follow the God of heaven. Incredible. So chapter 1 gives us this beautiful picture of brokenness, disobedience, the change that your commitment can have in the life of others, the choices you can make to either stay or go. You know, God doesn't make you do anything, but he does send direct help. Did you deceive? Did you understand? Let me say this. Compare your Moab. Compare your Moab to Bethlehem. Prepare your life that you've chosen to get away from God in for the life of following him and the joy you find. That little song we used to sing, there's joy in serving Jesus, is true. Lord, help us to love you, commit to you. And God, help us to see the fallacy of a disobedient lifestyle. Or leads, what it does, it ruins our life. It takes what we count precious and destroys it. God, help us to follow you and only you, we pray in Jesus.